One of the best sessions, and I'm excited I get to hang out and back. This is Kevin Walter. He is a great game coach. I get the honor of working with him a lot, and you are going to love this session. So we are getting more handouts made. We're also bringing in more chairs. If you need
continuing education credits.
Yeah, the sign up is back there. We are also going to be handing out some evaluations for you to let us know what more we can do for you and how you like the session. I know you're going to love it. This is Kevin Walter. Enjoy it.
Thank you. Michelle forgot one important thing about the, and you should know this.
I'm sorry.
If you really like the session, make sure you fill it out. If you don't, you don't have to. Well, welcome, everybody. I'm really excited to have a full room here. I think this kind of might show the need for great game leadership, leadership in a great game company. It is different, right? So what's different about it? Anybody, first of all, how many people have played the game and played it for a while? Okay, how many newbies we have? Okay, for those that have played it for a while, what do you feel you need? How is it different in a great game company leadership? Yes, yes. Got to be a teacher. Education is key, right on the money. That takes a lot of patience, too. I have a whole new appreciation for teachers. Yes?
More vulnerability and transparency on the part of leaders.
Vulnerability and transparency on the part of leaders. Awesome. Yes?
You got to suck it up when people are pissing you off because they're going for it.
You got to suck it up when people are pissing you off. That was his word. Because you're going for it. Love
they're
it.
They're going for it.
They're going for it. Love it. Anything else?
Have to learn to
listen. That's right. There's power in listening. And many times as leaders, we don't listen because we've got an agenda up here we got to get out there. Here's a slide. Traditional approach is top-down. Great game approach, two-way communication, back and forth, listening. Okay. Delayed information, real-time numbers. My brothers and I have been in the food service for years. We got turned on to the great game. We put it in our catering company up in the Chicago area. We've managed now, typically by the third of the month, our books are closed and we have our actual statements. Real-time numbers. Okay? There's no invoices lost, no POs to go search for. Everybody tracks and records receipts. It really, and we didn't expect that going in. That was a side benefit. Summarized information. It's not specific. Specific and relevant. Stories told by top leadership. Stories told by those closest to the action. Often a special event. Great game company, communicate, it's regular routine. Designed for outsiders to make you look good to the bank so you can get another loan if you need it or line of credit. Designed for everyone to understand and participate. Okay? So this is what the game isn't.
When we asked Reebok to send us Terry Tate, some people thought we were crazy. But I'm a firm believer in paradigm breaking, outside the box thinking.
Hey, buddy.
Break was over 15 minutes ago, Mitch!
And since Terry's been with us, our productivity has gone up 46%. We're getting more from our employees than ever before.
You know you need a cover sheet on your TPS reports, Richard! That ain't new, baby!
Hey, Terry.
Hey, Janice!
But what's really impressed me is how Terry's become part of the Felcher family.
Yeah, baby!
He fits right in here.
That's a load, Mr. Paul! Doug!
To be honest, I wish Reebok sent us 10 Terry Tates.
Uh-oh.
You want a big game, Gene? Well, when it's game time, it's pay time, baby! Woo!
Now, that's a dramatization, but I'm the last official year of baby boomers. 1963 I was born. That's right, 55 years old. That's what I grew up on. My dad was a World War II Army Air Corps sergeant, and my mom was even better than he was. Okay, we had 11 kids in our family, so it was do what we say now without question, without fail. And there were consequences if you didn't. We actually had a Terry Tate, although we call him Larry. It's my brother Larry. There's three brothers in a business we own. And our employees used to call him Scary Larry. So that was a big shift for him to go from command and control to go to great game leadership. Big shift for me too, but a little more so for him because he was Scary Larry. We've got 10 steps to implementing the great game of business. The first one is begin with the right leadership. And you know what? If you can't get that right, there's no sense to go to the other nine. This is where it all starts. This is what makes or breaks the game. I've been coaching now for about 6 years, and I've had some companies that have struggled, and a couple even failed. And when I look back at it and said, why did that happen? Did the autopsy? Because the leadership team wasn't all on board. There were some that wouldn't relinquish their command and control. They couldn't be, vulnerability? And transparency. They weren't ready for it. They didn't want to unlock the secrets. Why? That's what they knew, and there's older like me. It's what they grew up on. And also, some people, it's job security. Why should I teach somebody else what I know? Because then they can replace me. So begin with the right leadership. If you're not prepared to learn, teach, we had educate, right? You guys just fed right into this perfectly. Thank you very much. If you're not willing to do what's up on that board, it's not going to work. If you have something to hide or want to use the numbers to manipulate, manipulation is horrible. Motivation is great, but there's a fine line sometimes. Okay? If you're not willing to do this, find another approach. It starts with a sincere belief in people and fostering mutual respect and trust. Okay, now this presentation will be available to everybody once you fill out there's an evaluation in the back of this book. And you fill that out, submit it, you get unlocked to every presentation from this whole set, the whole thing. But feel free to take pictures, it doesn't bother me. I just want to let you know, that way you don't have to clog up your phones. At this point, if anybody can't hang with this, feel free to leave in the next few minutes. No hard feelings. Okay, because some people, they're making a profit, they're doing okay. But if you're not willing to do this, this isn't for you. Respect, trust, and emotional commitment. Respect. What's a job title? Who can I pick on today? Engineers. Mars. I talked to Mars this morning. We met.
Owner.
Okay? He's the owner. Having owner on his business card, automatically that commands respect, right? He's the owner. Okay? That's going to have respect for your employees automatically. But it makes more of a difference to your organization if they respect him as a person. Take the ownership title out. Do they respect him as a person? It leads to respect as a leader, and it leads to trust. You can't have trust until you have respect for somebody, right? And it's same in all relationships, right? Okay? Trust. It takes a long time to earn, right? We've heard this all before. And how long does it take to break the trust? One incident. I heard a finger snap. Absolutely. It can go away in a heartbeat. Once earned, it leads to emotional commitment. Now, this is where I used to have love in the slides, but then we presented, my brother and I both present stuff like this, and he presented to SHRM, the Society of Human Resource Managers, and they almost all left the room. You can't say love in the workplace. Well, I'm sorry. We've had 25-year people who worked with us. I don't even call them employees because that sounds like they're other than us. I love them, and hopefully they love me. They're family to me. All right, so we say emotional commitment because that's the politically correct way. All right, once you get that emotionally, it's a two-way street. If you don't respect your employees as much as you want them to respect you, and if you don't trust them as much as you expect them to trust you, why are they going to trust you? Some companies I talk to about the great game say, well, you're going to have binders and you're going to write down the numbers, and do you keep those locked up at the company when you do your huddle? Why? Well, they could get out in the street. So you're not going to trust your employees, but then you're going to ask them to trust you that the numbers you're giving them are correct. And when you think about it, what's a competitor going to do with your numbers? They're going to validate that you're better or worse than they are, but we never give out our client list. We protect that with our lives. Non-compete, non-disclosures. What are they going to do with the numbers? Leads to an emotional commitment to you as a leader, to the organization, and once it's achieved, it is so powerful. That emotional commitment. That's when people are using their thoughts driving around after work to think about work. Powerful thing. And it's a two-way street once again. All right? We have, my brothers and I have an emotional commitment to our team. Anybody ever wants to see it, come on up and see us in Chicago. Right next to the airport. You ever get stuck on a layover, we'll come pick you up, feed you, and bring you back. So command and control, or fear, Terry Tate, leads to little or no respect or trust. That makes sense? Pretty simple. Little or no respect or trust equals little or no engagement in the great game. The organizations that practice the great game and have the most tremendous results have the most respect, trust, and emotional commitment flowing two ways in the company. In your opinion, what's the number one characteristic that a leader must exhibit? We kind of already touched on this, right? Vulnerability. What else?
Humility.
Humility. Man, you guys are good. Maybe I can skip the next couple slides. What else?
Visibility.
Transparency. And
being there.
Being present. What else?
Honesty.
Absolutely. My pick, humility. Okay, you got to be willing to let people know that you don't have every answer. You know, so many times as leaders, we want to have all the answers for our team, right? They come to us with a problem or an issue, and we're a problem solver. We got to come up with an answer. And some leaders come up with an answer, whether it's right or wrong, just so they don't look bad. That's horrible. Right? It's perfectly fine to say, I don't know, but I'll find out. Great question. I'll help you out with that. Or what do you think? Even better. And then you listen. Okay? Humility is the top, to me, the essential top leadership trait for a great game. It's okay, even preferred, when a leader doesn't have all the answers. It shows you're human and humble. Vulnerability, we said earlier. Okay? Don't be shy about asking your associates for help. Right? They come to you and ask you for help. That's a two-way street. Think of how empowered they feel when you go and say, I need your help with this. I can't figure this out. Think you can help me? So often as leaders, we don't do that. Once again, it shows you're human and humble. And this is my favorite, authentic servant leadership. Support your associates by serving their ideas and their needs. And this is a hard shift for entrepreneurs, for business owners, for top leaders. How did you get to be an entrepreneur, top leader in your organization? Sheer will, grit, determination. If the job needed to be done, you did it 70 hours a week. If you needed to go in on a Sunday, whatever it took, you got it done. And that's a hard shift to go from that to sitting back and letting your employees, associates run with the company. It's hard to let them fail. But one of our rules in Great Game is failure is fine as long as it strengthens the company. Okay? Think about a child. Before they walk, they crawl. And in between crawling and walking, they skin their knees plenty of times, even though mom or dad is always there trying to save that screaming and crying, right? But after a skin knee or two, then they're going to be running pretty soon. Right? Think about that with your team. Let them have a few bumps and bruises along the way, because if they make their mistakes, they'll learn on their own, and you're there to help them. But if you keep giving them solutions to everything, they'll use your brain the rest of their lives. Okay? We want to change that thinking to them. That was a big and hard shift for us, really hard. Okay? We were used to having all the answers, being Johnny on the spot. And when they came to us, it was hard for us to say, but what would you do if you were in my shoes? If you owned the company, what would you do? What would you change? And then to support those ideas and help see them through. Even though you might have tried it 10 years ago and it didn't work and it failed miserably, let them try. Okay? It's going to show that you care about them. That's the best kind of leadership to me. Manager versus a leader. People, especially younger generations, want to be led, not managed. They need to know the why first before they buy in. They need to be validated when they have issues. They need to know what's in it for me. And they want to be in the know. All right? I've got, I don't know if they're millennials or Gen Xers. I've got a 20-year-old and a 17-year-old. And this is so true. They want to know the, you know, when I went into the workforce, I went in and said, I'm going to work hard, I'm going to be a good employee, and they're going to advance me. Right? That's kind of how the way it used to work. Nowadays, all right, why should I work hard and what's the end goal I'm working towards? I want to know that before I even accept a job. Big change. When my older daughter was 16, she and my wife didn't get along. That happens in a lot of families, right? Those teenage years are always a lot of fun. She'd come home from school with a problem or an issue, whether it was the dance team or the volleyball team or school or a teacher. And my wife's an industrial engineer, and I'm an entrepreneur. So what do? We solve problems. So she'd come home, tell us about the problem, and right away we'd start firing solutions at her. And she'd start arguing everyone, that's stupid, and within minutes it would be escalated to DEFCON 5 and she'd be running off to her room crying, and my wife would be fit to be tied. Or me, depending on which night it was. Finally, this wise young girl, and I so respect her for this, she taught me a lot about life. She came home one day and says, listen, I've got a problem, but when I tell you it, I don't want any solutions. I just want you to listen and validate that my thinking's right and I'm not crazy. My wife and I can love you. Okay, so we sat there and listened. She told us the problem. Oh, Ellen, that's terrible. Oh, I understand. I get what you're thinking. Okay. Thanks for listening, guys. She went to her room, came back down for dinner, said, here's a couple solutions I thought of. What do you think? Can you help me out? Which one do you think would be best? And I was like, oh my goodness, what happened here? Unbelievable, okay? And it worked, so I'm like, in the workforce, how many times do people come to us with problems? And right away, we're solution-minded. You know, throwing in oh, that's terrible. Oh, that sucks. that will help you guys, right? I understand you. I hear you. I get it. Okay, have you thought about a solution? What do you think we can do to solve it? I need your help. What do you think? They want to be in the know. I'll get into that a little more later. They want to be recognized that they are somebody. So understanding leaders, listen attentively, make eye contact and body language. This was my biggest downfall. I'd be walking through our warehouse or kitchen. Somebody would say something to me about a problem, and I had an agenda in my mind. I had to get somewhere. I had to do something. So you'd tell me a problem, and I'd be walking by you. I'd be like, okay, yeah, yeah. Like leaning, trying to get away almost. Okay, all right. How effective is that? Now I have to force myself, when you're talking to me, to stand in front of you, make eye contact, square on. It's a little subtle thing, but it makes a big difference. Okay, you're my most important thing right now because you're the one who's telling me about your issue or your kid or whatever it is you're talking to me about. It's effective communication. All right, act on feedback as soon as possible. This is a killer in companies. You tell me about an issue or problem, I listen attentively, I look at you. Okay, I validate, wow, that's terrible. Okay, how can I help? Then I walk away and it's a week later and you haven't heard back from me. You got to close that communication loop or else you devalue your team. Close the communication loops, don't forget. I now walk around with a notepad in my pocket and a pen because I could walk through the kitchen. Sometimes I'm not there, they don't see me for one day every 2 weeks because I'm out doing this. I'll bring a notepad because by the time I walk through the kitchen, 5-6 employees might ask me something. Write it down so I make sure I close it off and then I scratch it off. That's my system. My daughter laughs at me. She says, that's what cell phones are for. People need to be seen, they need to be heard, and they need to know that they make a difference. It stinks Michelle just slipped up because she's the one who taught me about this. She was taking an organizational behavior or some kind of class through Cal Berkeley. She taught me this a couple years back, and it really resonated with me. Your people need to be seen. They need to be heard, listening attentively. Then with the follow-up and the follow-through, they need to know that they make a difference. If you can do that, you'll get that. You'll be the servant, authentic servant leader, okay? You'll get that emotional commitment that you make a difference, that I care about you as a person, as an employee, as an associate, as an important part of the company. All right, so where does gossip start? You know, gossip in organizations, right? Everybody's got the water cooler talk, and it's like the post office game where if I whispered something in your ear by the time I got to the back of the room, hey, we got a slow week next week, by the time I got back there, we're going bankrupt, we're all losing our jobs, right? Sometimes you hear the gossip or the chatter back, and you're like, where did that come from? All right, gossip is toxic to organizations. So how do you avoid it or overcome it? Well, where does it start? It's created from a lack of transparency and communication. Visibility, right? Okay? When people aren't in the know, they make stuff up. They fill in the gaps with whatever comes to their mind, which usually is way off the truth. So how do you combat it? When people are in the know, when you give them all the information, you're transparent, you're visible, you're open, you're honest. How can they say something different? Now, how do you do that? It's easy for me to stand up here and say, when we were entering best places to work because we got good PR out of it back, I don't know, 8-10 years ago, we got detailed surveys back, and our lowest scores across the board were communication. People didn't know the company. This is before Great Game. People didn't know the goals of the company, where we were going, where we were headed. We're like, we talked to them all the time. We didn't have a vehicle. So a vehicle we started was called Inside the Dish, catering company Inside the Dish. We had a contest to see who could name our intra-company newsletter. In the Inside the Dish, I was working HR. I was HR and purchasing in our company. I was working HR, and when they came up with this idea, I went, oh, great, another thing for me to do, right? Because that HR people will have to do the communication. The team came up and said, no, it's going to be developed by the people for the people. So each team, every Friday afternoon, each team by 5 o'clock has to go in and populate their section with a little blurb on what's going on. Praise and appreciation for other departments, what they've accomplished this week, what their challenges or tasks are for next week, everything. So starts out with profit because that's why we exist. Then it goes into sales, how we compare to the same month last year, or the busiest month in our history, how we're stacking up on plan. Then it goes into news about us. That's the only section the owners write. It's news about the whole company. Okay. Then it goes into each department, operations, logistics, culinary. And we've got several different companies up there. We run with our employees. There are employee startups that we funded. A little blurb about each company. They haven't gotten to me about Great Games, so I don't have to write that once a week. But I do that at the huddle. I let them know when I'm there, what's going on. But the only section that every person has to do is in our brand ambassadors. Those are our delivery drivers. We call them brand ambassadors because they represent our brand. People see them more than anybody in our company. They're on elevators with people, so they know how to give elevator pitches. They're giving branding and marketing classes because our brand is represented by them more than anybody else. They have to give a little blurb each one, and it's mostly intelligence on what catering trucks they saw at what loading docks and what buildings and what facilities. They even go and follow around because they know revenue is the easiest way to get more profit. It covers a lot of bruises, right? So they give a detailed field report on what's going on out there. Quick little story. We had the drivers started bringing box lunches to security guards, like 20-story office towers. Say, hey, we're new in this building, you know. Thanks for getting us in. Appreciate you. You know, who does appreciation for a security guard in a building? Not the FedEx guy, right? They hate each other. And that security guard, he's large and in charge. If you're not a tenant paying rent, you're a piece of you-know-what. Bring him a box lunch. Hey, I noticed there was somebody coming in catering. You know, do you know who they deliver to? Oh, and the guy's looking through his box lunch. He goes, here's the book. They signed in a little bit ago. Go ahead. Our drivers go through the book and write down every catering company, what contact they went to on what floor, and what the contact's name was, so then we get by the gatekeeper. That's how invested they are, because they know more sales means more hours, means more tips, means the Great Game bonus, whole thing, the whole chain. Anyway, so they have to put in their own. Anybody wants to see a copy of this, feel free to hit me up with an email. I'll put my email up on the last slide. It was a game changer for reducing gossip in our company. Nobody in the company can now say they don't know what's going on. They can't make stuff up. If they do, somebody else will say, didn't you read Inside the Dish this week? Discretionary thinking. What is discretionary thinking? Anybody?
Thinking out of the box.
Thinking out of the box, yes.
Optional.
Optional, right. So it's the thoughts you can have in a day that aren't needs. Sleep, restroom, eating, right? Those are like almost intrinsic or whatever you call it. This is discretionary thinking. Average human has 60,000 discretionary thoughts a day. Average human works 33% of the day, 8 hours, or 50% of the hours they're awake if they sleep 8 hours. What percentage of discretionary thoughts on average do you think are spent on work? 2%? 5%?
33%.
33, okay, good. I finally went above the number. It's about 10%. Thank you. About 10% or 6,000. So 10% of their working day, they're thinking about work. What are they doing with the other 90%? Where am I going to lunch? How quick can I get out of here to get to my kid's softball game? You know, why did my wife not say hi to me this morning? You know, whatever it is. Right? So if you can get, if you can even double that to 20%, you can increase your workforce without having any staff. You know you're winning when something like this happens. We were a year and a half into the great game, and I'm sitting at my daughter's soccer practice, 7 o'clock at night, and I get a phone call from one of our top sales persons. I see Ellen in the phone. I say, "Hi, Ellen. Kevin, I got it. I thought about it. The idea came to me." I said, "What are you talking about?" "Our mini game. I came up with the theme and the idea and the score. I got it all. It's going to be blitzing for bubbly. We're going to do a champagne theme. We're going to get champagne glasses, champagne bottle, and chocolate. And for the top prize, then we can have a champagne and chocolate party to toast our victory." I'm like, I wasn't even hearing what she was saying because I'm sitting there going, 7 o'clock at night, she's thinking about work. Yeah, baby. Now, keep this in mind. This is a woman who had 3 sons getting married within 8 months. She was 2 weeks out from the first one of those weddings, the first wedding of her family. And then the second one was, he was local, but it was Christmas time. The next one was in some barn out in Illinois, and the third one was a destination wedding in Hawaii. And she's calling me thinking about Tasty Catering. Holy cow. So recognition plays a huge part in this. People need to be seen, they need to be heard, they need to know they make a difference. How do they know they make a difference? When you recognize their efforts. So here's what leaders think employees want most on the left and what employees really want most on the right. Good wages, job security, growth opportunities, right? This is what they really want. Recognition, being in the know, and an understanding boss. The bottom 3 here, flip up to the top 3 here. I wanted to let this soak in because it really makes a difference when you recognize people. 51% of the leaders believe they do a good job of recognizing their employees. What do you think the percentage of employees think they get recognized enough?
17%.
You were in my other session, weren't you? Oh, Michelle. We share slides. 17% of their employees agree with them. Little dichotomy there, right? Hey, we do a good job recognizing our employees. No, you don't. So here's some recognition tips. And if you were in my session yesterday, sorry if this is a repeat, but it'll hopefully drive it home. You really remember it. Be positive, okay? Be positive, happy, smile on your face. I've learned coming from Chicago, you can call anybody just about any name as long as you got a smile on your face. Okay? You so-and-so, thank you. Right? I mean, everybody's laughing here. Be sincere. Associates can smell that BS a mile away. It's like patting you on the head. Good job. Good job, Johnny boy. Thank you. I walk away and they're like, yeah, I'll help yours. Be consistent. Okay? Recognize the efforts as much as you can. I've got the great game player coach leadership characteristics up here. One of them is create miracles by looking for them. Be on the lookout for them. Try to catch people doing things right instead of doing things wrong. Get that positive flywheel going towards find people wanting to be caught doing the right thing. Be specific, okay? The more you can be specific, the more they can say, wow, they really did pay attention. I am somebody. Be timely. Don't wait 2 weeks. Hey, 2 weeks ago, you did a great job on that. A little quick story here. We had a sales associate, got married to a school teacher, and I think Memorial Day weekend, but she had to wait a couple weeks for honeymoon until he was out of school. The night before her plane left for the Philippines, she had a wedding that she went to the wedding, calmed the bride down. Oh, Nikki's here. Everything's, you know. Then she slips out the back door and her operations people operate and execute. About 20 minutes after she slipped out the back door, a horrendous line of thunderstorms, almost a tornado rolled through. The venue lost power and it started flooding. So here's the bridal party in this much water. Our people are trying to dam up the doors. There's no lights. The DJ can't play. We kept the liquor going, though, so at least that helped. So our team ran back and got generators. They came back, hooked up the generators. They ended up not getting power the whole night, but we had enough generators. We had lights, spotlights, you know, that we got from our shop, and the DJ played. And by the end of the night, the bride says, you know, it kind of stunk, but everybody's going to remember my wedding. So, you know, you make lemonade out of lemons sometimes. So long story short of that is Nikki was on a plane to the Philippines. It killed me. I sent her an email. right away, as soon as I found out about that, hey, Nikki, I really appreciate you going above and beyond. It's that kind of commitment and dedication that makes this company what it is. You make it special for all of us. Thank you very much. But I couldn't wait 10 days, 2 weeks till she got back to do it in person, face to face, and really look her in her eyes and thank her. Okay, that killed me. Go three levels deep. What's your name, sir? Bob?
Yeah.
What do you do?
Develop human potential.
Develop human potential. Awesome. We're in the same field. All right. Bob, great job on that presentation you did the other day.
Thank you.
Bob, great job on that presentation the other day. You know, you're having an impact on human beings.
Double thank you.
Okay. Bob, great job on that presentation the other day. You're having a great impact on human beings, and not only them, but me too. You're an inspiration to me, and I appreciate your efforts.
Now I'm moved.
God, I didn't set him up. I didn't pay him yet. Afterwards, I'll slip you a 20, okay? That's what we do in Chicago. Okay? Do you see how going three levels deep really lets you know you've been seen, you've been heard, you make a difference? That I paid attention? Wow, I am somebody in this company. I make a difference. Wow. No buts! Bob, great job on that presentation. You're really having an impact on lives, and you're having an impact on me. But the next time you do it, could you add this in? All the three levels just go right out the window. If Bob had an issue that I thought or something he could improve on, I would wait an hour, a day, whatever. Hey, you know, I was going over that thing in my head again. And would it help if you tried X, Y, or Z next time? What do you think? Okay, let him ride the high for a little bit before you chop his legs out. Coins and pocket trick. I learned this from a fellow coach. Why do we, I think I went over this already, but as leaders, we're not used to recognizing people because how many times do we get recognized? If you're a president, CEO, who comes up to you and says, good job, CEO, way to lead this company? Right? Do your frontline workers come up and say, you're doing a great job, Mr. President? No. It's lonely at the top. My brother's been our president and CEO for years. He handled a delicate situation with a client, sent out an email to the company explaining what the thing was, everybody in the know. And I went over to his office, made a special trip because they kicked me out. The great game works so well, I went to an office next door, farthest away from Tasty Catering to everybody. So I walked over to his office. Tom, that was really awesome. I appreciate you being our leader still. You know, I don't know if that can be replaced when you retire. He's 72 now. He says, thanks, Kev, I appreciate it. I said, anybody else send you? He goes, no. I said, isn't that odd? He goes, no, nobody. I'm the CEO. Nobody expects, you know, you don't expect that. Nobody recognizes me. And I said, damn, I'm glad I'm the youngest brother. Because it's awful lonely at the top, right? You know, I get praise from him. Nice job on that, Kev. Or my other older brother, hey, Kevin, good job on that. Thanks for helping us out. And our team leaders, hey, thanks for helping us out. So coins and pocket trick. If you're not used to it and it's awkward for you, put 5 pennies in your right pocket at the beginning of the day. Every time you recognize an employee, face to face, looking in the eye, three levels deep, no buts, take the coin out of one pocket and put it in the other. Don't go home until you get all 5. After 35 days, it'll be a habit. Behavioral scientists say it takes 34 days to change a behavior. Within a month or two, you won't need the coins. You'll be doing it naturally. So I know it's awkward because we don't get recognized. We do a monthly recognition, and this is so powerful. And once again, this is a repeat from my class yesterday. But people need to be recognized. We celebrate anniversaries the first Thursday of each month. They're like, well, today's the first Thursday. We postponed it so I could be there. Okay? The three owners talk about that person. Their first year, we talk about where they came from, their past, their family, kind of like a general info thing, and what position, what value they have to the company. Every year after that, we talk about how they've improved in the last year, what different positions they've learned, how they've gotten cross-trained, gone upward mobility through the company, okay, now they're a supervisor maybe, whatever. They added to different skills. On their 1, 5, 10, 15, their keystone dates, we let them invite their family in. And we let them pick what we have for lunch. All right, we do lunch as a team every day. So having lunch isn't special, but they'll pick something we don't normally have. Or their favorite item that we prepare. And the three owners stand in front of the room, and we talk about, we split up the people, what that person and what they've meant to the organization. And then they come up and they shake our hands, or we give hugs if they've been there a while and it's, you know, we love them. 8 times out of 10, 7 times out of 10, they turn around and go back to their seat without getting the envelope with the letter and the check. They're not coming up there for the check. They're coming up there for the recognition. They appreciate it. It's not all about the money. It's about those kind words and being recognized in front of their peers, in front of their families. And it also helps, this is a side benefit we didn't realize, to have the families in. Because then when we have to go Christmas time and some of the chefs are working 18 hours sleeping four and coming back and doing it again, their wives aren't saying, why do you work there? They're saying, I wish I worked there, after they hear the nice things that their boss said about them. That doesn't happen to them at their work. Okay? They kick their butts and say, get to work. All right, the higher laws of business. These are Jack Stack's higher laws. I have bolded the ones that kind of apply mostly to leadership. You get what you give, right? You give and you invest in your employees, you're going to get back. I realized this from a client. We did this in the huddling class once again. Sorry to keep referencing that, but we've had an employee expense line on our P&L since we started. I learned this from a client a few weeks ago. We're going to change it to employee investment. That's the line where we put in training. We put in the meals. We put in mini game prizes. That's the line we do for employee investments. But we call it an expense because that's an accounting term. Okay? But you get what you give. You got to want to change as a leader. You got to be able to. You know, it was tough if my brother Larry was going to be able to change. And a couple times, he and Tom and myself had to apologize to the whole team because we didn't follow our culture. We weren't good leaders. We had to eat humble pie to try to keep our respect and trust and say, you know, I was wrong. That was bad. It was horrible. I'll try not to let it happen again. And that stinks. Doing that one time for me was enough because I never wanted to do that again. So now I check the temper at the door. When you raise the bottom, the top rises. I kind of think the opposite is just as true, and that's kind of covered down here, and change begins at the top. Okay? But when how do you raise the bottom? Communication, transparency, being in the know, lack of gossip, respect, trust, emotional commitment. Get those discretionary thoughts. They're out there. When people set their targets, they usually hit them. Anybody that's worked with me knows I must say it 100, 150 times every time I implement with a client. People support what they help create. Mars, did I say that a few times this morning when we chatted?
About 11 in 20 minutes.
Okay. People support what they help create. Okay. The more you can make it their idea, the more you can be an authentic servant leader and say, what would you do? The more you can be humble and vulnerable, the better you'll be. They'll think you act and feel like owners overnight. If nobody pays attention, people stop caring. Somebody said that in the open about not paying attention or something similar to this. Right? I set up in a company, and the owner wasn't on the design team. That's fine because it lets everybody else get their ideas out there. But then after lunch, I heard the owner maybe made it to one huddle a month. And his sister, who was also an owner, never went to the huddles. So if they're not paying attention, everybody else stopped caring. They called me and said, we're having trouble with engagement. So after about 20 questions, I said, I think I have your solution. Change begins at the top, right? Start with the right leadership. You can see it was the first rule of our implementation. And it's number 10 here. Starts and begins and ends at the top. Player coach leadership, master the basics of business. This is one we had to do because we're three guys that we're not accountants. We had to know the basics of business. For us, the early years, first 20, were get up, open the restaurant, go there, make food, go home, and hope we made money. We had to learn about the business right along with our employees. Demonstrate the value of learning by learning themselves. That's the humility and vulnerability. Hey, let's figure this out together. Tell stories that convey meaning. All right. When I first started doing public speaking and whatnot, somewhere I read a statistic, and I wish I had it, but people remember about 10% of this slide deck. That's why we're taking pictures and people are going to get it later. People might remember 40% of what I say or how I explain it, but people will remember 80% of the stories I told that conveyed the meaning, right? I'll see you get one of you guys a year ago and you might tell me, I remember that story you told me about this or that. Okay, those are the ones that have impact. So can you do that with your team? A couple other things to not be advicey that I learned from a business group I'm in, and it's all about emotional intelligence, is instead of giving you advice, Bob, I'll give you a shared experience. You'll tell me something, an issue or problem, I'll validate, wow, Bob, yeah, that's a problem. Thanks for bringing that up. You know, I had something similar to that happen to me 15 years ago, and this is what happened, and this was the outcome we did, and if I had it to do over again, I might have done that outcome a little different. Turn around and walk away. That way I'm not telling him, Bob, you got to do this. I'm giving him an option. I'm giving him a shared experience. Another thing I might do is say, and this is just simple, putting a different jacket on it, you know, Bob, that problem, if I were in your shoes, I might think I'd do A, B, or C. If I were in your shoes, A, B, or C makes sense for me. If I were in your shoes, I'll do B. Then again, it's your option, but I've given you my thoughts without being advicey, without being managerial. That's being a leader. All right. Where was it? Create other open book leaders. Absolutely. You can't keep those secrets locked in. Create community. All right. How do you create community? Get that emotional commitment going in your company, that respect, trust, emotional commitment. Get that going. Servant leadership. Create miracles by looking for them. Night and day. Try to catch people doing things right and get that positive flywheel flowing. Tasty Catering story. Great culture and engaged workforce. Many best workplace awards. We were top five in Illinois 6 years straight. Wall Street Journal's winning workplaces. Best place to work in Illinois. American Psychological Association, psychologically healthiest work. I can't even say it. This isn't us, the three brothers. We were just smart enough to get the hell out of the way. That's our team that did this stuff. We just gave them the reins. We were smart enough to say, go for it, guys. How can I help? If you'd have told my parents, both deceased, God rest their souls, if you'd have told them that three boys from a dysfunctional Irish Catholic family from Chicago, that 11 of us lived, 13 of us lived in a three-bedroom in a converted den house, that we'd have a company that was a psychologically pretty dysfunctional family. Psychologically, no way. It wasn't us. And my sisters can tell you all about how it wasn't us. Okay? We still have to work on leadership and great game constantly. If you're not willing to commit, somebody, the first thing that came up this morning was education and patience. You got to be willing to be patient and educate. Even if you told them 1,000 times, go for 1,001. Teach 8 times, 8 different ways. Proof in the pudding, 2017, 94% employee engagement, 6% employee turnover. In the food service industry in Chicago, restaurants are included, and those are a lot of seasonal part-time, so they're 150%. I'd say caterers are probably 70, 80%. 6% turnover. People don't leave. 10,000 plus events, 104 errors. That's less than a 1% error ratio. In catering, there's a lot of moving parts and pieces. It's all off-premise. And is it because I'm standing there with a checklist? No, it's because the people are emotionally committed to the company to do things right. They hate making mistakes because it costs us money and it costs them bonus in their pocket. Mistakes is free money to them, our free money. 2,000 sales up 10%, 25%. The best part about this is the brothers work about 30% combined of what we used to work in the company. We now work on the company or other companies or great game coaching. I used to do payroll every 2 weeks. People ask me, how much time do you spend coaching versus working on the company? I said, I do payroll every 2 weeks. Well, 4 payrolls ago that got taken off my plate. Yes. Okay, so I would have had to do it on Labor Day Monday before I came here if I had the payroll, but I didn't have to do it anymore, so I had a day with my wife.
Yes.
Okay, that's what ownership's about, right? Now, we've got our busiest day ever in our history coming up September 22nd, and I'm going to be working in Tasty Catering, and I'm so looking forward to it. I went and found my uniform, my hat, and everything. And what am I going to be? I want to be the gopher. I want to be in reserve at the shop, in my truck, full tank of gas, ready to go to deliver crews, to deliver something forgotten, to go to the store for the chefs, whatever's needed. Whatever they tell me to do, that's what I'll do. And you know what? I want to be busting my hump to make sure I get recognized. Because if they say in leadership on Monday, operations director says, it was really nice having Kevin here, I'll feel cloud nine. How are we doing on time here? We're getting towards the end. Okay. Oh, look at that. Wow. So, in your books, I want to explain your handouts real briefly. You don't all have them. Michelle, did we get more copies? Anybody that didn't get a copy, feel free to get Michelle or raise your hand. She'll get them now. I gave you, my brother Tom went on a journey back when we changed our culture in 2006-07, and he started reading tons of books. Jim Collins, Good to Great, that's what our culture is based on. All sorts of things, okay? He knew that our leadership team wouldn't be reading Jim Collins' books, so a lot of them he boiled down to 1 and 2 pagers. So there's a lot of 1 and 2 pagers in here. I have more if you need them, okay? I gave you a fact sheet about Tasty. I gave you our meeting agenda template. The things at the top of here are really powerful, okay? Those change the face of our meetings from a leadership perspective. When we leave the meeting, we leave with one voice. How many times do you have a meeting and people leave and all of a sudden you heard they didn't agree with something or they gave a different story? When we leave, we speak with one voice. That means you can't say, well, we made a decision in leadership, but I don't agree with it. Silence equals agreement. How many people have people in meetings that sit there silent? And then they go out there and say, they agreed this, but I'm not with them. Having those points of order really helped our teams. Higher laws of business, the player coach leadership I put in here. Some other stuff. My favorite that I'm getting to, and I put it last, is Joe Maddon, a baseball guy. Now, he happens to be from Chicago, and he got us a World Series after 100 and some years, so I really like Joe. This was the year before. He had a blog, or somebody interviewed him for a blog. And what he says in here, he could be the best great game coach ever. And he's never been to the great game. So really read this blog. But in there, there's a start, stop, continue. I'd like you to take a minute or two. So many times who did I steal this from? So many times we come to these conferences, and we get all this information, we're a ball of flame, and we get home, and it's the weekend, and on Monday we go in, and there's 350 emails in your inbox. And a week and a half later, you're like, oh yeah, I remember that from the conference? And nothing really gets implemented. I gave you a start, stop, continue tool, and you can use this with your teams at work, too. What are we going to start, based on what you've learned in the last 50 minutes, if anything, what are you going to start doing, what are you going to stop doing, and what are you going to continue doing? Maybe a few key takeaways. I'm going to give you a minute to write those down, and then we're going to, hopefully somebody will share a couple. Okay, because I want to save some time for Q&A. Anybody want a popcorn? Anybody? What you got, Mars?
I'm going to stop discouraging bad behavior directly. I'm going to...
Wait, I've got to repeat it. Oh, you got the microphone. Try it again.
Just 1 second, I have to make that.
Otherwise, we get in trouble.
Best. I'm going to stop discouraging, quote-unquote, bad behavior. I'm going to start asking how we can solve something that I see as a problem, and I'm going to continue asking what's going on in the lives of my team members.
And what's the one thing you're going to remember from our talk this morning?
That people support what they help create.
You didn't have to look at it. Man, you rock. Thank you. Anybody else want to share? Here we go. Yay. I hate when there's crickets.
Well, I think one of them is continuing telling stories that convey meaning. That's really important for our company. And it's both what I'm going to take away and something to start is I want to have a conversation around failure is fine as long as it strengthens the company and see how well we're doing that and how we can do more of that.
Yes. Anybody else?
I'm going to find creative ways to utilize our employees' discretionary thought time.
Anybody else?
I didn't think of any stops or continues yet, but I really liked your gossip newsletter. At our company, we do have a very big problem with employee gossip, and I really like the idea of giving more of the background. When I traveled here, I'm with one of the SRC companies in Springfield, so even on our road trip here, I learned things about my fellow employees that I had no idea where their background was. So, and they had no idea what positions. I've been there 5 years and been in 3 different departments, and they had no idea where I came from. So I really like that when we do our employee recognitions, you know, for their annual.
Awesome.
So I'm
awesome. Thank you. That brought to mind a mini game we played, and it was a get to know you. So we had everybody fill out a questionnaire, where they're from, how many children, their names, their wife's name, his husband's name, significant other, what their, tell us one obscure fact about you people would be surprised about, and all sorts of things. And then we did a mini game around it, and not a mini, well, it wasn't really, it's technically a mini game, but each Thursday we get a 10 or 20 question questionnaire from our fun team, our fun committee. And it would be say, what's Hugo Gonzalez's favorite sport? Mexican guy, or soccer, baseball. Who would have known that? Okay, the next time that a vendor gave me Sox tickets, I went to Hugo and said, you want to go to Sox? Oh, man, that was like a dream. So that's just another tip there, to get to know you kind of thing. Make it a fun contest. Who else? There was somebody back here. A start, stop, continue. There we go.
I actually like the stop, start, continue format here. You can give it to your employees, and what do you want to do for this week, or what do you want to change in the next, you know, 10 days or in the month?
Excellent.
It's an excellent format.
And it's a good way to get feedback from people who don't normally speak up in a meeting or in a crowd. Another thing is what we call the sticky note exercise, where you ask a question or you're doing a SWOT or doing high involvement planning. Everybody write down in a few words or less on a sticky note and don't put them up until everybody's done. It kind of forces the issue that people have to participate and give their thoughts and make sure if there's an owner or manager in the room, theirs goes on the wall last, because some managers want to say, okay, I'm the best, and they go and put theirs up first, and all of a sudden people are looking and writing, and you got 5 of the same answer. Good crowdsourcing that way. Anybody else with the start, stop, continue? Or questions? We can do either way. We're in our Q&A part.
Hey, Kevin. Hey,
oh, I heard the voice come over here. Go ahead. Hi, Kelly.
Hey. So Kevin's worked with us, coaching us and everything. And recently we had one of our employees move on to other things. And he was actually really close to us. He's my brother-in-law. And he shared some things with me that he basically told me that the guys don't have respect for me. That was hard to hear, coming from guys that I'm like, I feel like I've been pouring into. And one of the top things on his list was I always showed up and pointed out their negatives. And it demoralized them. And so one of the things I'm going to start doing is tracking the little wins. You know, when they're setting up their job site correct every single time. You know, and just tracking that and be like, hey, did you know you've had your job site set up 10 times perfectly in a row? You know, and so that's what I'm going to start doing. I'm going to stop harping on the negatives, and I'm going to continue to develop my leadership style in a way that will benefit my men.
God bless you. I think that's... And you know what, Kelly? You just showed one of the traits we talked about. You were vulnerable with this whole crowd by saying that in front of 100 people. Good on you. Good on you, man. We had more. Another gentleman up here, but if there's another one on the way, we can do that too. Oh, yeah. Maybe we should do a mic drop after that one, like I did a phone drop.
Yeah, seriously, bravo. So mine are a little more general, but I want to stop trying to be so invulnerable or emotionally disconnected from my team. I want to stop being the guy that has to do everything and be knee-deep in the trenches. I don't want to prevent people from making their own mistakes. I want to start being more vulnerable, trusting, emotionally connected, willing to step out of my own way and use stories as a means to connect. And I want to continue being respectful, appreciative, and a servant leader.
Oh, that was a hell of a follow-up, man. Good on you. Good on you.
Thank you.
Not that anybody else didn't... I want to be consistent. Not that anybody else didn't deserve applause, but these two are especially getting me a little choked up here. Well, good on you, sir. Questions, too, if anybody had a question.
So I work with a group of engineers, and they're really good at finding fault in pretty much any plan that I bring to the table.
I'm married to one. I get it.
So and they're really bright people, so they're honestly thinking about it critically and finding the fault, and that's a good thing. But
oh, logic,
it
right?
Just
logic.
Shoots a hole in the whole kite, right? And nothing ever happens. It stops right there. How do you push past the naysayers?
I'd say take a page from Kelly's book and just try to push the positive and the positive and the positive and the positive. And with that group, it might take a long time to chip away. Positive, positive. Seriously, my wife's an industrial engineer by training, and in our house there's a place for everything, and everything has a place, and God help the person who puts something out of place. And when we plan vacations, she says, what do you want to do? I said, I'd like to do X, Y, or Z. If it doesn't work out, great. Well, what honey, I'll go... Tell me where to drive. Give me the GPS and coordinates, or tell me where to get the airfare. I'll do it. But there's no sense fighting City Hall, right? What I try to do is make her smile and laugh every day and enjoy life. Because sometimes I think that she would just be so logicked out, she'd never have any fun. So no knock against engineers, but I've lived 25 years. We've been married in March, so I get it. And it's just try to get that positive. And my mother, I know I'm winning a little bit there. My mother-in-law came up to me a couple years back and said, I'm so glad she ended up with you. You loosened her up a little bit. She used to walk around with her knickers in a twist all the time.
I might use that one.
HR might have a little problem, but she's from the South, so that just the way she said it was perfect. Thank you. Yes.
So as a recovering engineer married to an engineer, I can tell you one way to do positive is what you've been saying, is validate what they're trying to do.
Good.
Hey, you're trying to make sure we don't fail. I really appreciate that. And making sure we don't fail. What do you think success would look like? And you're going to hear it more.
Do you want to take the rest of these if there's any more? That was awesome. And that's the power of this conference, learning from each other. Please don't be shy here. Go up to people. And they'll tell you about their problems and how they overcame them and what worked for them. That's the power of this conference. How are we doing on? 2 minutes.
In the same vein with the engineers that haven't worked with software app developers, let's do it, let's try it, let's fix it. You can fix it if it doesn't work. Do it, try it, fix it.
So having worked with software developers and engineers, let's just try it, let's just do it, let's just fix it. Mm-hmm. That might work. Absolutely. Yeah. All right, if there's nothing else, if there's a breakout there, maybe we can beat the other rooms to it by a minute.
Yeah.